You're listening to BFM 89.9, the business station.
I thought we were very unfortunate to win the game tonight. I thought that we went behind against the run of play. And obviously you go 1-0 behind against Chelsea, then it can be very, very difficult. But we created opportunities. I thought the speed of our movement and our passing was excellent. And then you see the return now of the aggression and our pressing. So to keep them to only a shot on one shot on target, which was the penalty, really shows how well we've defended and also shows how well and good we were in possession in order to create chances. So the only thing was missing was both. But it gives us great confidence now within the team going into the second leg, because obviously you'll expect Chelsea to open up a little bit more, and that will work well for us with the pace and the invention that we have in the team.
Thank Friday, it's football on BFM 89.9.
Yeah, Brendan Rodgers, they're saying that, you know, they are slightly unfortunate. The story of every Liverpool's fans live so far. My name is Jeff Sandhu. I'm not Ross Yusuf, obviously. This is Tank Friday, it's football. Let me introduce to you the guests for today. Bob Holmes.
Hi, everybody.
Ray Jennings.
Evening, all.
And Sam Postlethwaite.
Good evening.
You're right there, Sam.
It's that last syllable. Yeah. It could have been worse. You could have pronounced it another way.
Sounded it.
Anyways, you can get in touch with us. It's Twitter at BFM Radio. You can SMS us at 0162019000. Or you could email us. It's football@bfm.my. But why don't you like the Facebook page? It's football on BFM. So let's kick things off with the result. Liverpool 1, Chelsea 1. Were Liverpool unlucky,
yes,
Bob?
Yes. I think very unlucky, not slightly unlucky. I think they dominated the game. They deserved more out of it. It's a pity. I think if they'd gone to Stamford Bridge with a lead, any sort of lead, they'd have a real chance. But as it is now, I think Chelsea have got to be considered favourites. But Liverpool were superb. The only thing missing, as Brendan Rodgers said, was the finishing touch. And we all know they haven't got a striker. Raheem Sterling, as wonderful a player as he is not a natural finisher. That may sound a little ridiculous when he scored a magnificent goal, but he missed two easier chances. And had he been a natural striker, he probably would have put at least one of those away.
Courtois getting man of the match, I think, said it all. What was it, 19 shots to 2? And one of those on target, like he said, that was the penalty. It does say a lot. I thought, like you said, Bob, Sterling played wonderfully. Obviously, the decision to send him off to Jamaica, cue all those jokes, really did do him a world of good. If it hadn't worked, it would be interesting to know what the backlash might have been. But Brendan Rodgers, you've got to give him credit, because the lad has been playing for a long time, you know, tournaments included, so he did deserve a break. And he's come back really freshened up.
I think Chelsea, they must have been really surprised by the fight back. I think it was a fabulous goal by Sterling. His pace, he not only took on one defender that got near him, he got past the next. And even when he went past Cahill, it looked like he had rocks in his boots. I think Courtois, like you say, he deserved it. He came close with Henderson, even Lallana, like saving twice in quick succession. But can they do it in the next leg? Like Liverpool, they have been known for having shots in recent games, but they really piled on the pressure against Chelsea.
They seem to get it together against Chelsea, don't they, Liverpool? Mm. I'm very interested next week how that pans out, because on paper you'd say immediately, yeah, Chelsea. But good bit of momentum going on with Liverpool at the moment, and it might be the right time to meet someone at Stamford Bridge and, you know, get a result.
Yeah, well, Chelsea are showing a few signs of fraying at the edges, actually.
Which is
they're not
due,
you know, they're at their all-conquering best, are they? Right. I mean, they're still in all four. They're still going for the quad. And they're favourites in three of the four competitions. Mm-hmm. They're favourites for the FA Cup as well as the League Cup and the league, obviously. Fourth favourites for the Champions League. I mean, no one is really talking about them doing all four, except one or two players. Courtois. Courtois has mentioned it.
And Jeevan.
I said players.
He's a player.
Mourinho certainly hasn't. So they're not looking you know, quite as impressive as they have been.
Yeah, defensively, that Spurs game, I mean, that really stands out. How often do you see Chelsea concede five? But there again, very impressive against Swansea last weekend.
Yeah, well, on paper, the other game seemed like, you know, a walk. You know, it's a walk in the park for Spurs against Sheffield United. 45 league places separate these two sides. But it was a very dull game.
I think it was crazy. Sorry, yeah,
well, I was going to say, if it had been a walk in the park, Sheffield United might have arrived on time.
Yeah, they were delayed.
Was it 15 minutes late, wasn't it?
Yeah. And that's going down the night before, staying in a hotel in central London. So our KL traffic is not the worst in the world, yeah, is it? Mm-hmm. That's the reason Roman Abramovich, digressing a bit here, but the Spurs ground and its inaccessibility is the reason Roman Abramovich didn't buy them.
On his helicopter ride, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. He was looking at
the saw the jam.
Yeah.
Traffic, yeah.
It is a horrible ground to get to, actually.
Going back to the game. Going back to the game.
Okay. Right. Essential background information there.
Yes.
Going back to the game, Sheffield United are in with a chance, aren't they?
Yeah.
I mean, certainly not overawed by the occasion. Got a famous record against bigger teams in both the FA Cup and the League Cup in recent years. They'll be set up for it at Bramall Lane. It's a real cauldron of a place. And Spurs are going to have to be at their best. Otherwise, they're going to get an upset.
Preferably without Adebayo as captain. Because I thought he was just awful. There was one time where I think it was Eriksen laid that ball forward to him, an absolutely sumptuous ball, and Adebayo took it down but couldn't keep his balance. Apart from that, I thought he was very unimpressive. And I think I know what Pochettino was trying to do. That was his first start since early November. Mm-hmm. So he thought, big him up, get him really involved, get him to get behind the team. But it just didn't work.
I think it was really disappointing for both sides on strikers. Like Sheffield, they did have their opportunities in the final third, but they just couldn't get it on target. Spurs, you had Soldado and Adebayo, Soldado came in the second half. And they're both players that really need a confidence boost at the minute. If not, it was an opportunity for them to shine. Like 75 places above these teams, you should be thinking they should be able to hit the net. But then, not taking anything away from Clough, since he's taken over at Bramall Lane, I think it was October 2013, he's overseen 17 ties in the Capital One and FA Cups and only lost once in the FA Cup semi-final against Hull City. So he's really on a hard run here. And I could see, like you both say, Bramall Lane is going to be an uphill challenge.
They have to be patient when they go, when they play the home tie, because they kind of went for it. And I think there were gaps there. I think Spurs were a little bit shocked. But I don't think they can do that at Bramall Lane, because I think if they start the way they did against Spurs, they're just going to get picked apart.
Mm. Winners of the Carling Cup predictions.
Of the Carling Cup?
Yeah, yeah.
Chelsea.
Mm.
Chelsea. I think Chelsea will probably just about edge it against Liverpool, and I think Spurs will probably hang on against Sheffield United. Chelsea beat Spurs in the final.
I'm going for a Spurs win, just to be biased.
You have to.
Got it on that.
All right, we'll be right back with more. This is Tank Friday, it's football.
Hi, I'm Ian Rush. I scored 346 goals. And speaking of finishing, end your week with Tank Friday, it's football.
Bringing fresh meaning. BFM 89.9.
You're back with Tank Friday, it's football. And Monday, there was a BPL game, Everton with West Brom. It was a game with very few opportunities, but not without the drama of the penalty.
Well, yes, that's the talking point, isn't it?
Yeah.
If anyone missed it, Kevin Morales snatched the ball from the grasp of Leighton Baines.
He didn't really snatch it.
Grabbed. Yeah. Okay. Took it. All right. But shouldn't have done. Anyway. Leighton Baines, the normal penalty taker for Everton, who scored 16 out of 17 and promptly missed. Hit the post, actually. So this is being considered an act of mutiny, and he didn't come out for the second half. You can make of it what you will. Supposed to have an injury. We'll see how long he's out for. Whether that's a convenient injury or not,
he could be going to
know.
Spurs.
But it looked as if he wanted to seize the limelight. He's been playing very well lately.
I know.
He scored a cracking goal last weekend.
Set up
he's on fire, basically, Morales, and he wants to leave. And it's being assumed that he just wanted one more little moment of glory to boost his chances.
If you look at Bain's reaction, though, he didn't exactly get upset. He kind of gave him that playful slap on the cheek and the arm and said, "Yeah, go on, do your stuff," and gave him a bit of advice. So it didn't look like there was anything untoward until he kind of missed it, and then it all kicked off.
Well, I think if you're in Bain's position, or even Jagielka's, the captain, it's very hard to stop somebody taking a penalty without making it a much bigger incident than it was. If he'd scored, then we wouldn't be talking about it now.
No. Correct.
But, you know, because he missed, we are. So but I think they took the view that, well, he'll probably score anyway, let him go. Because you don't want to see fighting. No. You don't want Lee Bowyer style incidents, do you? I think that must have gone through their minds, so that's why they let him do it.
Yeah, but I think Martinez, things aren't looking good for Everton at the moment, and there are rumours that he hasn't got the dressing room on side, and Morales is one of them that's turning the rest against him. So this might be his way of making a point, i.e. he's made it easier to take Morales off because he missed the penalty. Again, there's still nothing has been said formally about why he was taken off at half-time. But if you remember back to April last year when Everton beat Arsenal in that game, it was an absolute corker of a game. I think it was 3-2 or something. Mm-hmm. 3-0. Mm-hmm. And everybody was saying, that's it, there's six games left. They're going to do it. They're going to qualify for the Champions League. They just went downhill from there. They lost the next four. Out of the next six, they lost four and only won two. And they didn't qualify for the Champions League. And ever since then, they've been very shaky ground. They haven't looked convincing at all this season. And I think, okay, fair enough, West Brom with Tony Pulis in the seat, difficult team to go up against. But I think Everton should have won that. Mm. It's not looking good for them.
I think it's a very much Liverpool thing. All the teams up in that part of the country this year. Last season, they had such impressive spells. Liverpool finishing where they did. Everton, like you say, the impressive wins. Mm. But this season, they've really been living on last season's glory. And I think both teams need to find the reset button and get this season out of the way and then go for it again next
year. Even Rocky Bilbao couldn't stir them up. He was there.
That was the highlight.
Yeah.
Anyways, moving on to the Asian Cup. We've got to check in with Des. The first two games of the Asian Cup quarterfinals was last night. So let's start off with the first game. Korea Republic were 2-0 winners against Uzbekistan, but only after extra time.
It was only after extra time, but I tell you what, they thoroughly deserved it. It was a bit of a travesty that they went to 90 minutes. But this Korea team, it's almost a stereotype to say that the Koreans will be full of energy. This Korea team, absolutely fit, as you can possibly imagine, thoroughly deserved the win in the extra time. Hong Seung-min scoring a couple in extra time, but they should have won it in 90 minutes. And they still don't concede goals. This is it's a very resolute team that Ole Sturlock has put together. Ki Sung-young is the linchpin. He's kind of like the quarterback, defending the back four, but also spraying the long passes and retaining possession. You know what? This team could go all the way.
Yeah. Well, another team that could go all the way is Australia. They overcame China with the one and only Tim Cahill.
Yeah, I mean, the youngster Tim Cahill, he shows a lot of promise, doesn't he? His first goal was...
What a goal.
As good as you can remember, but you look at his flailing arm in the build-up. You look at the way he's caught the man who's meant to be marking him. I'm not taking anything away from the finish, but there's a certain amount of physicality from Tim Cahill there. And his second goal was a real striker's finish because he's got his back to goal. He takes the first touch. He spins, puts it into the corner. It's a real striker's goal. He's become more of a striker the longer he's gone on. The only worry for Australia is that they're over-reliant on Tim Cahill to convert the goals. And that's the only problem, I think, that they've got. They look strong in Milly Jedinic. They've got a linchpin in the heart of midfield. Defensively, Matty Ryan looks very good. Spiranovic is very strong as well. So they look strong, but you know what? take Tim Cahill well, and against good teams, as they did in the groups against Korea, they may just struggle.
Mm. There's two games today. One just ended a few hours ago, Iran and Iraq.
What a match that was. Oh, tell you, football, I keep telling you, local football, it's the place to be. Local football really matters. Now, Iran versus Iraq. Back in 1996, I went to see Iran play Iraq in the Asian Cup that took place in the UAE, and the atmosphere was electric. This one, every bit as electric. Iraq eventually winning on the penalty shootout, but not without real, real drama. They conceded the last-minute equaliser, having scored with just 2 minutes to go from the penalty spot, and this having been having a man advantage for the best part of an hour going into extra time. The tension was palpable, and the relief when Iraq eventually put home the final cool penalty kick was it was a joy to behold. Our office at Astro Arena, we just stopped. Everybody stopped. There were about 40 or 50 people watching the television at that stage. It was a phenomenal performance from Iraq against all the odds, and this is a very young Iraq side. Yunus Mahmoud is the standout player, but it's a young Iraq side. Don't write them off in the semi-final against the Aussies.
Mm. Des, if you were going to put your favourite Liverpool's jersey up for, you know, who's going to win the Asian Cup, who would you pick?
Well, I'm very neutral where it comes to supporting teams. But I wrote in an article before the tournament began, I really do think South Korea have got the organisation, the fitness and the mental fortitude, as well as the players. Hong Seung-min's a very good player. Ki Sung-young, I've loved this fella since his days in Seoul, before he moved on to into Europe and playing with Celtic and now in the English Premier League. He's a class act, is Ki Sung-young. The joker in the pack is Australia and Timmy Cahill, but I think you've got whoever beats Korea will do a mighty fine job. So if I was forced to make a prediction, and you're forcing me, South Korea.
All right, Des, I will speak to you next week. Take care.
My pleasure. Cheers, Jeff.
All right, there's one more game that is still ongoing, the Japan versus United Arab Emirates. It's Shibasaki scoring in the 81st minute, so it's now, it's still in extra time, it's second half extra time. So that will go on to, well, it's still, as I mean, it's 90 minutes injury time.
Full time, yeah.
It will probably go on till extra time. We'll keep you updated on the score for that, but we will move on to the African Cup of Nations. What's the story so far? I think the second round has been played. Anything interesting? I know there's one group that, you know, Sam, you're very...
I see, yeah, the group of death, we've called it. Algeria, Senegal, Ghana, South Africa. What a group there. Mm-hmm. You've got... but then the main drama so far has to be Ivory Coast and Guinea. Like, 1-1, you got Pogba's brother out there. What was the ex-Barcelona player we were discussing?
Keita.
Yeah.
And then Gervinho pulling out the handbags, I think.
That was worth watching, though. If you get a chance, get on YouTube. It's an absolutely stunning clip where he just loses it.
Mm-hmm.
And he actually left hooks the opposition player. It's a really good punch. completely takes him out. Bob would have been proud of it. but it looks like he's just lost the plot. But in reality, if you slow down the footage, the opposition player stamps on his foot. But he covers it extremely well. But you see this little hesitation, drop of the knee, and bang. And that's why Gervinho reacts like he does.
A lot of analysis gone on to that video.
Yeah,
eh?
Didn't watch the game.
You just went onto YouTube. Yep.
I think
once again, Ivory Coast flatter to deceive, don't they?
Yeah, on that on generation.
Paper.
Yeah.
I mean, Yaya Toure didn't look interested.
No.
Really. I mean, people have criticised him for that attitude at Man City, but when he goes back, plays for his country, he arguably was even less interested. So you wonder what's going on there. But Ivory Coast, really, they'll be the golden generation if they don't win it, won't they?
They should have
won it. They've got the best team by far on paper. They have had for the last couple of tournaments.
But then you look at teams like that and where do they play their football, and a lot of them are spoiled, and when they go back to their home countries, I'm not saying they're badly treated, but the standards, and they can't afford those type of standards where that what they get in La Liga and the Premier League and the MLS. but they, you know, and so to a degree you can understand why they're not as bothered, you know, they're not, that's not where they're making their money. So it's quite difficult, I think, for them to go back and represent their country when it's not the same standards that they're used to.
So what about making excuses for Yaya then?
Yep.
With the £200 million training ground and all that. Yeah.
What about Avram Grant in Ghana? Any chances of ill? He's
well, it's not exactly a marriage made in heaven, is it?
He's in familiar situation, you would say.
Yeah, I think he's certainly got to step up in this. His first opportunity to really show back on the world stage again. He's been hiding away in his native country, but now he's out there and against Nigeria, I believe the game is tonight. I think this will be a challenge for him. Algeria, the way they performed at the World Cup, I really think this could be quite a uphill challenge for him on that. So it'll be interesting. But one thing, sorry to go back to it, the Asian Cup.
Yep.
The China-Saudi Arabia game, I've got to bring it up about the goalie asking for help from the ball boy behind the goal. Chinese goalie, the ball boy's just pointed behind his finger, diving that corner. The Chinese goalkeeper's got down for it. China won 1-0, and the Australian boy is now a national hero in China. If you get the opportunity, you've got to have a look at it. It's brilliant.
Mm-hmm. I didn't ask you guys, who you think will win the Asian Cup, you know, between Korea...
Nigeria.
we went back, Ray.
To be honest, I'm going on what Des has said, and it sounds like it sounds like the Koreans are. But there again, they've got a history, haven't they? Them, Japan, in the last 20 years, they've really come to the fore, and rightly so. I think they've put in place. They've got their own leagues. They've got good training facilities. They value their players, and it's followed with a passion. And obviously, hosting the World Cup had a lot to do with that.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Bob?
I would agree. Yeah. Agreeing with Des. That's unusual. Mm.
Are you listening, Des?
I think all around South Korea. I think Australia, as we've said before on the programme, they're not quite there this time. I mean, they're a home advantage. You've still got Tim Cahill and all that, but they're just not quite good enough. I think South Korea, better all round side.
Mm. Sam?
I'm going to go for the baby squad of the Socceroos, I think.
So you think the young Tim Cahill would...
I think as long as they've got him on the pitch, they've got a fighting chance. And I was rooting for UAE to pull it off in the last 10 minutes there, but I thought if Japan are out, Oz will beat UAE and get in the final and halfway home.
Mm. You know, it's still 1-1. It's gone into extra time, the match between Japan and UAE. We'll be right back after the news. This is Tank Friday. It's football.
Thank Friday, it's football on BFM 89.9. Best flipping moments, BFM 89.9.
Hi, I'm Didi Haman. Thank Friday's football.
And you're back. My name is Jeff Sandu, together with Bob Holmes, Ray Jennings and Sam Postlethwaite. Did I say that correctly?
Dead right, mate. Perfect.
Anyways, it's the FA Cup weekend. So let's start with the squeaky bum time. because Cambridge United will be up against Manchester United, who are currently, the second richest club. And based on the performances so far, this could be a very interesting tie because the managers came out and said that, you know.
I think you're right. I think Cambridge, they're League Two in 12th, play 6 points off promotion spots. Mid-table type team. They have quite a good pitch, quite a nice ground. Not a ground, but pitch. The ground itself is a little bit dilapidated.
Rangers old scoreboard,
haven't right, they? Yeah. And a very difficult fixture, I think, for Man United. Cambridge have quite a checkered history until recently. They almost went into liquidation. Jez George, the CEO, he's done everything from T-boy up to his current position. He's seen them through the rough and the good times. But the Abbey Stadium only holds about 8,000, I think. And their annual...
It was sold out. Yeah,
there was queues to get the tickets there overnight. And their annual turnover, I was just reading this morning, is enough to pay Wayne Rooney for 6 weeks. and I think what's interesting here is it's the return of Luke Chadwick, that damn fine-looking fella from the 90s at United.
Yeah, he's a Cambridge boy, isn't he?
He is.
Yeah, he's playing for his hometown club. It has the makings of one of the great upsets, doesn't it? I mean, if if Cambridge were to win this, it would be right up there in FA Cup history.
Absolutely.
But you can't quite see it. Having a good pitch is probably a disadvantage. These teams, that great traditional giant killers of the third round, normally have terrible pitches, which is half the reason they managed to kill the Giants.
Mm-hmm.
So having a superb pitch is going to play into the hands of the better team, I think.
But they could do it if Van Gaal sticks with the 3-5-2.
Well, yeah. It's a potentially tricky assignment for Van Gaal because, you know, he's not used to this kind of thing. He won't know quite how to handle it. And, you know, he's all high and mighty. He knows best. you know, this massive ego he carries around with him. Nobody will be able to tell him what to do. He won't listen to advice. And it could be an uncomfortable evening.
You know him, Bob, do you?
Well, I feel as if I do because I've read so much about him. not the sort of guy you would want to have a pint with, I think.
It's one of the few times you can say he's got a real test in Cambridge. Here all week.
I think Cambridge, the whole city will be buzzing. From what I've seen of one player that I was lucky to play, Greg Taylor, his Facebook is lit.
You played with him, did you?
I think, yeah. I tell you what, he's a cracking right back, he is. And the way that Cambridge play, they'll be sitting at the back and they'll let Man use five wingers, well, five midfielders with the wingers. They'll let them attack them, I tell you. And they'll sit back, they'll have it, and they'll play old school. They'll shift it up, just boot it up, root one up there to the striker. Mm. And, well, Richard Money, the manager, he was a part of the glory squad of Liverpool in the European Cup in 82. So he's been there against the big sides. Like you say, Luke Chadwick, he'll be absolutely up for this game. Yeah. But then is Fowler's his debut as well? We've got to think about.
Has he been picked?
That's it, yeah. From the new camp to Abbey Road, this is going to be an experience.
That's the thing.
At least the weather will be better.
The other factor is, you know, De Gea being rested and, you know, Victor Valdes might make an appearance. I'm very sure he would.
Well, Van Gaal has been playing that down lately, today, that it's not necessarily going to be Valdes. Mm.
Because it probably, is very tricky.
Yeah, it's probably better that it isn't, I think. Because although playing Cambridge is hardly a daunting prospect for Victor Valdes, European champion many times.
Yeah.
But it's something he's never done before. And it's his first game, and he won't want to muck up, will he?
I think another thing he's never done is, going by the weather at the moment in the UK, he's probably never played with an orange ball. So, yeah.
We complain about a cold night in Stoke, but what about a Friday night in Cambridge?
What about it?
Are you watching?
Oh, yes, of course.
In the other FA Cup game, sees Blackburn Rovers will take on Swansea City. Swansea City striker, Marvin Emmons, he came out and said that, you know, he's hoping that he can help the Swans to bounce back because the previous defeat against Chelsea, that 5-0 defeat, that was something that came from nowhere.
Yeah,
no one
expected
that.
Off the boil, haven't they? They haven't won in four in the BPL.
Slightly dropping. Yeah.
Blackburn, what happened to Shebby? Is he still there?
He's at JDT is now, I believe.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Long gone from Blackburn.
Right. Yeah. I thought they were still keeping him on the books. For
No, not anymore.
Okay, right.
But interesting match this. It's the early kickoff tomorrow night. Both clubs have been selling players, strikers.
Yeah.
You wonder what's going on. Blackburn, they've got Rudy Gested, who was at Cardiff. They picked him up for nothing, practically. Wasn't much of a scorer, scored 7 in 55 games for Cardiff, suddenly become a hot property, wanted by Crystal Palace, Stoke and Leicester.
Got more goals.
Scored 24 in 43 for Blackburn.
Hmm.
A strange case. Suddenly found his shooting boots at a relatively mature age of 27. No one saw this in him. And Blackburn are asking $6 million. And they're also prepared to sell Jordan Rhodes. So if this is true, if they get rid of both of their strikers, what does this say? Is it the Venkies finally trying to balance the books?
Well, they have that reputation, don't they, the Venkies? It is a business. They're not interested in success.
But
they're
if they sell both strikers, I mean, they've actually got two strikers who are scoring goals. They're looking at picking up probably, for the pair of them, around £15 million.
And Jordan Rhodes might be leaving soon as well.
Yeah, so you know, £50 million, I mean, that's the end of any promotion hopes for Blackburn this season. Mm. But it would help considerably in balancing the books. Mm.
Another game we'll pick out, it's Liverpool versus Bolton Wanderers. This is the return of one Emil Heskey.
Probably make a meal of it.
Yeah, I'm quite excited for this one. I think, was he 37 now? He got 60 goals in 223 games. He won
the FA Cup.
But when I must admit, I'm so excited every time I see this squad. Good Johnson and Heskey. 10 years back on Football Manager, I would have loved that.
But what about the law that says a player must score against his former club?
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a pretty good chance that might be broken there tonight.
Look, whenever I whenever I hear Emil Heskey, three words spring to mind: ship, dock, and turning.
But what about Liverpool's chances here?
Well,
yeah. I mean, they've been on the rise.
They should. They should.
Unbeaten, what, on a 9-match unbeaten run.
Yeah.
Trouble is, they can't score, can they? That's the thing, and they're still waiting for Sturridge.
Nor can Heskey.
No, no. Well, they won't be
could
trying
be
to sign.
Could be a 0-0.
No. But I don't think Gerrard will play.
Yeah.
I think on a rather more poignant note for Liverpool fans, when I saw Gerrard handing over the armband to Jordan Henderson midweek, I thought, oh dear, this is what they're going to miss. Irreplaceable. And when you saw the guy that is going to replace him, Jordan Henderson, not fit to carry his jockstrap.
Just before he smacked Costa, yeah?
Really? What a poser.
Who, Henderson?
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't know you felt that strongly about
him. I just don't rate him. And captaincy.
Well,
I think I'd rather have Adebayor. I think Adebayor has got more captaincy potential.
Yeah, but he doesn't play for Liverpool. Now I think it'll be an interesting game. I mean, Neil Lennon coming in October, got sent off in his first game against Birmingham, if I remember rightly. But he's won 13 out of 16, moves them up into not relegation places, but you know, within 9 points, and they were, I think, just in the relegation zone. So he's done well, and I think he'll want them to perform well, even though promotion is their priority. A good game.
I think it will be down to the tactics. I think you've got Matt Mills at the back for Bolton, and I think he could really keep Sterling quiet. You've got Jay Spearing. He's captain of Bolton now, ex-Liverpool lad. I think it could be an interesting game. And the way Liverpool played in midweek, if they go out like that, Bolton, it'll be a walkover. I think could be an upset.
Yeah, this inability to score. I mean, you could see Liverpool totally dominating the game and not being able to finish it off, and then Bolton maybe sneaking one. That's the worry for Liverpool. I'm surprised that they haven't tried to do something about it in the transfer window. They've still got another 10 days or so. But, I mean, they're basically putting all their eggs in the Sturridge basket, aren't they? I mean, he's supposed
to.
Well, possibly in a week.
2 weeks, 3 weeks.
You know, but you wouldn't match it, hold your breath, would you?
Yeah,
and if he doesn't, then that's it for the season, isn't it? Basically, they haven't got anybody who can score.
Who Liverpool need right now is the person that we will air in just a moment. We'll be back. We'll be doing more previews. This is Tank Friday. It's football on BFM 89.9.
Bole for Malaysia. Ha. BFM 89.9.
Hi, I'm David May, and Thank Friday is football.
This is, of course, Thank Friday is football with Bob Holmes, Ray Jennings, and Sam Postlethwaite. You can also get in touch with us at BFM Radio. You could SMS 0162019000, or you can like us on Facebook. It's football on BFM. We'll pick out another FA Cup tie. Let's go with Man City and Middlesbrough. Ray, I know you are following this really closely because you dropped an email. We have to talk about.
Yeah, I think Borough are looking good. You know, they're on a bit of a run at the moment. They just beat Cardiff. I think it was midweek, 2-1, and they've gone up to second. They've only lost a couple of games in 22, and they had a shocking start. They lost, I think, 3 and 5. But their manager, Aitor Karanka, sounds like a rebel leader in Star Wars, but he's an ex-assistant at Real Madrid. He replaced Tony Mowbray a year ago. Mm. And it's just a pity this game's not at Borough, because I think City, they're not looking great, are they? And what, they had that midweek game in the UAE?
Yeah,
what was that about? That's ridiculous.
It's one of those
money
trips
spinners.
They have.
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
They went to Abu Dhabi. I mean, that's where the Sheikh is from, obviously. Yeah. They do make these trips.
But that's ridiculous. Mid-season, it's not like a couple of weeks break because they've been knocked out of a competition.
No, and they're only arriving back tonight.
Really?
21 that's hours ridiculous. Before kickoff.
That is silly. And Lampard's picked up an injury as well.
Yeah, but
he?
They will have the £200 million training centre come five-star hotel complex to stay in. Yeah,
I think that when the whole City group out there, I know Melbourne were out there. Was New York out there as well? Were they?
I don't know.
Well, Bayern Munich have been in Qatar, haven't they, for a couple of weeks?
Yeah, but that's different, isn't it? They've got a full-blown mid-season break.
A month off.
And I can understand that. But in the middle of a season, and you've got, 7 days between games? Mm. I just think that's foolhardy.
Well, it's only about a seven-hour flight. I mean, it's not like coming here.
Not economy class, of course. You know, they will be flying in a private jet, 7 hours on those kind of flights. It's nothing. Yeah.
But it's mid-season, and it's, there's no point in it. You risk injury, tiredness, when players really, you're hitting that time of the season where the Champions League is coming back next month. I just think it's very silly. Mm-hmm. And of course, like we just said, they have picked up an injury to Lampard.
Yeah. One more game. Tottenham will be up against Leicester City. Sam?
I must admit, Leicester boy, and I'm a Tottenham supporter. It is. It's a choice of two here. But Leicester, the way they're playing at the minute, they've been great. The game that I saw against Liverpool the other week, like old Paolo de Nugent, the way he hit that ball. But then both teams, it's Kramic's debut, and his goal scoring record has been incredible in Croatia. Like I said the other week, the Croatians, they must think Leicester are top of the league and Chelsea are at the bottom right now. But fair enough, he went there. Spurs, on the other hand, they are a cup side. We always have and always will be a cup side at the minute. And they'll be really out for this one. Sheffield in midweek, Sheffield next week. Could be a change of rotation, but I think Spurs should have this.
Not great at home, though, are they, Spurs, this season? The performances haven't been up there.
Conceded a bit
apart
too many
from the Chelsea
and,
game,
getting a lot of draws. And
I could see Leicester giving a real go at this.
The flair they've had, haven't they?
Depends what sort of a side Pochettino puts out, doesn't it, really? I think that Nigel Pearson will field a fairly strong side. Although, obviously, avoiding relegation is a priority. But I think he's old enough in the tooth to realise that if you have a bit of a cup run, it can boost morale and kick-start something. And they have been playing well, so they may as well capitalise on that form. We've got a new signing, go for it.
Mm-hmm. And I believe a few years back, Spurs played them in this round before and Leicester had the upper hand. Mm. And it was Raziak up front that day. Do you remember the old Derby hit, man? Moved to Spurs at absolutely useless money. But I think it was about this time, last time. It'll be interesting.
All right. Let's check in with producer Andy with a fantasy update and also the treatment room.
In our fantasy league, it's a big congratulations to Arvind Selvaratnam, whose clueless are apparently not what they deem themselves to be because they're top of the table with 1,259 points. Edward Woodward's equalisers are in second, Bons Bertok's Newton Heath are in third, ZX Tam's Rubber Ducky are in fourth, and completing the top five is Ayman Nasri's Clan Kopite. No league action this weekend, but nevertheless, here's the injury update from the treatment table. United up against Cambridge, and there'll be no trio of Young, Smalling and Evans. They're all out injured. Swansea travel to face Blackburn Rovers, and they could be without Ashley Williams, who's struggling with a shoulder injury, while Routledge has a calf strain. Liverpool could have Danny Sturridge back for the visit of Bolton, while Balotelli, Johnson and Allen are all expected to return. West Ham are without Sacco, Collins and Tompkins as they travel to face Bristol City. Elsewhere, Arsenal will go to Brighton, where they'll give late fitness tests to Bellerin, Oxlade-Chamberlain and Serge Gnabry.
Thank you, producer Andy. Let's talk about the Ligue 1. Saint-Étienne will be playing up against PSG. That's the standout tie. But what's more interesting, recently, I think just about 20, 30 minutes ago, I came across the a story that PSG are now lining up for a 75 million euro deal for Paul Pogba. Do they need all these players, PSG? They're not doing very well in the league, though.
If Odegaard can get 80 grand a week and Pogba's on 32, I think he'll be really punching for this one. He's a cracking player, and the goal he scored last week was, well, he had like Zidane-like structure for that goal. I'm not saying he is anything like Zidane, but he's 21, is he? And PSG got the money. He moved to Juventus for the money. What an opportunity for him.
In Serie A, the standout tie, it's Lazio against Milan. That's the 5th versus 8th. In La Liga, there's a whole bunch of games, but let's talk a bit about transfers. There's rumours about now, you know, the spotlight is on Suarez. Like 2 weeks ago, it was on Messi. Now it's on Suarez. Is he worth the money? Is he? He missed a whole bunch of chances against Barca's 1-0 victory over Atletico.
Yeah, I think he's worth the money. Yeah. I mean, he hasn't settled. He hasn't done it yet for Barcelona. But, yeah. I mean, look at his record for Liverpool and Uruguay. I mean, I don't think there's any question that the guy is an absolute top-notch player. One of the top half dozen players in the world, I would say.
Absolutely.
So just because he's had a bit of a spell where he's been relatively ordinary.
But those around him haven't.
No.
So they're kind of carrying the team. Well, not carrying the team. They're still getting the results for the team. So it's just we expected more.
And it's a big leap. I think no one, and Suarez included, really could gauge how difficult it would be to go from being the star at Liverpool to being subservient, let's use that word, to Messi and Neymar and Iniesta. And with all the expectations on him, after the bite, after 3 months out of the game, all that, not easy to come back. So I think this season, probably he won't justify the fee, but I think in the long term he will.
What about Martin Odegaard, the 16-year-old player that joined Real Madrid?
I think it's a complete gamble. Like, 3 million, the fee, Real Madrid, 3 million, that's so bad. Yeah. But for a 16-year-old on £80,000 per week, that's incredible. Fair enough, he had his debut last year for the national team. But is this just a big kid in the Norwegian league?
I think it's stopping other teams buying him up. That's what it is, getting in there first. And, you know, the really big clubs do that. But I agree with you. What was the final fee?
It was nearly 3 million.
I thought it was more.
Are they giving his dad a job as well in the academy?
Right.
His dad is a former player.
He was a footballer, yeah.
I think it's smacks of desperation by Real Madrid, because they never seem to produce their own player. They always have to buy in, don't they?
Barca, on the other hand,
I think that's what it is. And he did the tour, this kid. He did the tour. He went to Britain.
Everywhere.
he got the treatment everywhere. Liverpool, Bayern. City, Bayern, United, City, Arsenal. And he ended up choosing Real Madrid. So possibly not the best, actually, for a young player.
How much play time will he get?
So you wish him well, but if he's that good, we have no idea.
Yeah, put him out on loan to Rochester.
Reminds me slightly a bit of a Freddie Adu.
You know,
all the hype and all the, you know, young player. And
the casualty rate for 16-year-olds is pretty high, isn't it? Yeah.
Too much focus on him.
Yeah.
Javier Hernandez, though, he might return back to Old Trafford. Apparently, they don't seem quite interested to sign him on a permanent deal.
I think he's had a good spell, and he's been a super sub. He's come on. He's got some vital goals in the last 10 minutes here and there. But I think Van Gaal got rid of him for a reason.
He's on loan, isn't he?
Yeah, he was on loan, yeah. With an option to buy.
He's not up to Real Madrid status.
Correct.
I think it's Jesse who's coming back now from an injury, so he'll be punching for that position. And Hernandez, he'll be forgotten.
Unless
about.
He's thinking along the lines of Falcao's not going to be a permanent deal.
Probably.
We need that fourth striker. Bring him in for
one.
That.
One more story. Arsene Wenger, he came out and recently said that he wants the work permit thing to be dropped because he tried to sign Di Maria when Di Maria was 17 years old but couldn't because he wasn't a big money player.
I think it's brilliant. Like I discussed with you earlier about the old Arsenal fire. As a Spurs fan, I love Arsene Wenger. He just keeps throwing up stuff on this fire. All these players he's missed out on over the years. Ibrahimovic, Torre, Messi, Ronaldo, and now it's Di Maria. God, I think he really needs a big shake-up, that man does. Chelsea have gone around the system. They sent players to Holland. Man U went Antwerp. I think, why is he the only person that seems to be crying about this system?
I think you can't get rid of the work permit setup because if he did, that would contravene EU laws and then the whole thing would collapse. Mm. And also, we're all on work permits, so why should they get a special deal?
All right, big weekend shout.
Oh, yeah.
The Big Weekend Shout is brought to you by Micris.
Bob, let's start with you, Bob.
All right. I get first go every week, don't I? I must admit, I do Cambridge, appreciate that. No, I'm not.
No?
I'm going to go Leicester. Leicester to get something at Spurs.
Right. Sam?
I think Pochettino will shuffle the side with the replay in mind.
Yeah.
The second leg of the League Cup in mind.
Correct.
I'm going for Bruno to score one against Liverpool. I think Bolton will have one up and... Well, I hope they do now, said that. Yeah, Bolton's my big shout.
Ray?
Birmingham, West Brom. Birmingham to get something. But no, I'm going to go Brighton. I think they're going to get something against Arsenal.
Oh, that is a big shout.
That is.
I think, they're up there, aren't they, Brighton, at the moment, with Chris Hughton just taking over. And they're looking good, playing well. And Arsenal away from home. We'll see.
All right.
The Big Weekend Shout is brought to you by Micris, empowering networks with a personal touch.
And that's all the time we have for this edition of Tank Friday's Football. We say thank you to Bob Holmes.
Thanks, everybody. Have a great weekend.
Thank you to Ray Jennings.
Have a lovely weekend, everyone.
And thank you to Sam Postlethwaite.
Enjoy the football, everyone.
Possible what?
This has been Tech Friday's Football. My name is Jess Undo. Have a lovely Friday night and a lovely weekend. BFM 89.9.
BFM 89.9, the business station.